I don't care what things look like. I want you to say, this is my year for faith. This is my year of expectation. This is my year of manifestation. I don't care what it looked like. I'm going to have what God said I'm supposed to have.
Doctors Herbert and Marcia Bailey and ministry guests Bishop Liston Page declare that things will be manifested for you in 2014.
Why are you listening to where you can't go and what you can't do and what you can't have? I've already told you. I already revealed to you what I have for you. Put your hands on the wheel. Press down on the accelerator and move forward and bust through any roadblocks, anything the devil's trying to keep you out of.
Some of you have been waiting a long time. God remembered your faithfulness 3 and 4 years ago, and he gonna reward you for your past. Oh, I feel like preaching in this house now.
When God chose you before the foundation of the world, when he decided to give you a birthday, when he decided to give you a year, he said, I want to use you. I want to select you. I need you on planet Earth to be a part of God's team.
And when they went through hell, they laid hands on you so they can equip you to go through the same level of attack in hell they've been through. And instead of you feeling sorry for yourself, look and remember who laid hands on you.
I can handle this thing. I can handle every demon, every imp that comes into my life, comes into my children's life, roll up in this church, roll up in your life, roll up in your children's life, because God selected me out of the foundation of the world.
There's some of us that threw the towel in, and God said, no, I'm giving it back to you. You can't quit now. Come on. You've been through too much. I showed myself too faithful to you when you didn't have nothing at all.
What's had me down don't have me down anymore. What's heavy didn't have me heavy anymore. Something ignited on the inside of me that let me know that God loves me, that he sees me, that he wants me, and you couldn't keep me from the house of God.
Get these prophetic messages today. Order on CD or DVD. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or order online at rightdirection.info. Ask for 2014, the year of manifestation.
Today's message is Divine Connections and Covenant Relationships by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
So divine connection originates with God. Everybody say originates with God. See, you got to know who started this thing. When stuff is bad, when the end looks bad, when you're in it a long time, you got to know, did God tell me to do this? That's why I said in marriage, you got to be able to say, now God told me. You know, my husband, crazy. And at some point in your back of your head, God said, and God told me to marry this crazy man. Pastor, my wife is such and such. You got to go, well, God told me to marry this such and such wife. Because the truth of the matter is, listen to this. Even in natural relationships, we get to know people. Guess what? The person you're getting to know, God already knows. The person you're getting to know, he already knows their habits, their attitudes. Amen. He knows how they smell. He knows their habits. All the little annoying idiosyncrasies that get on your nerves. God already knows it. You discover it as you go. But he already knows. And he did not, if God puts a relationship together, he did not put it together contingent upon you not discovering certain things. I know this is tough stuff here. Ecclesiastes 3 and 4. Listen, this is a powerful scripture. It makes you challenge you regarding being fickle in relationships and fickle in what you say God did. Come on, look, put it up. Ecclesiastes 3 and 4. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be what? That's Ecclesiastes 3 and 14. Okay? I know whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Now, if God did it, it's going to be forever. Now, you may change. You may become fickle. The nature of it may change. We have to adjust some things, but God has forever in mind. That's why the Bible even says, watch this. The Bible says, when we get to heaven, any of y'all have a question? I wonder if I'm going to know so-and-so in heaven. You ever have that question? Okay. The Bible says when we get to heaven, we're going to know even as we were known. So you're going to know. You're going to know. Been married 5 times and they all got born again. You're going to know them. Which one am I going to live with in heaven? Thank God Jesus answered that too. He said in heaven, it ain't these kind of relationships. He said, you're not giving, no, there's no marriage in heaven. You're just going to know them as a person. I hope we ain't all living on the same street. That's going to be a little awkward. But what God does is forever. So God himself, y'all, God himself arranges particular relationships and he brings divine connections for his purpose. Everybody say for his purpose. Now that's really important to know that when God arranges particular relationships and brings divine connections, it's for his purpose. It's not merely, watch, oh, this is so good. Now watch this. God says, be fruitful, multiply. Let's go there. It's in Genesis, right? Genesis 1, around 26, 27, all that. God told him, be fruitful, multiply, subdue. He says in verse 26, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing. God created man in his image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. Now watch it. But one of the first things God said is be fruitful and multiply, right? So the purpose why God, one main purpose he put man and woman together is to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue the earth. But God said, now, the only way I'm going to get them to be fruitful and multiply, they're going to have to be attracted to each other. Watch it. God's purpose, watch it. Here's what I want you to see here. God's purpose is to bring you together to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue the earth. That's God's purpose in it. But God said, now, I got to make you be attracted to each other in order to get that done. The truth of the matter is, I'm going deep now, your attraction is secondary to God's purpose. Did you hear what I said? So God knows you ain't going to want to reproduce with nobody you ain't attracted to. Otherwise, you're going to be talking about, and Mr. got on top of me and did his business. So God don't want it to be like that. So it makes you attractive to them and makes you attract. So he gives you this sexual attraction. He gives you like the way they look. You like the way they shape. You like the way they talk. All that's external stuff. But and that's for you. But God wants to get his purpose out of you. And so you need to understand. So that means if whatever physically or externally attracted you to them changes, that don't mean that you're no longer supposed to have a relationship. That was incidental to God's purpose. Are y'all listening to me here? So God brings, when God puts people together or make covenant relationships and divine connection, it's for his purpose. Everybody say his purpose. Now the fact that you like them and all that's secondary. But God said, I got to give you that in order to get the purpose. So 1 Corinthians 12 and 18, God says, God set the members, everyone in the body, as it pleased him. So when God puts people into the body of Christ, he doesn't do it because you like them and think they deserve to be saved. That's the body of Christ corporately. And when God sends people to a local church, he doesn't send them there because you like them to be there or just because you're going to enjoy worshiping with them. He sets them in the church as it pleases him. So if it pleases God, we're going to have to get used to it and we're going to have to let it please us. I'm a pastor. I'm a founding pastor. But I knew none of you, with the exception of one or two people, one person who's still a member of our church, when I came here to Columbia. But God sent you here. Now I can't be here now, Lord. I want you to only send dark-skinned people. And only light-skinned people. Lord, let everybody be between 5'7 and 6'2. And Lord, send only people that make $100,000 plus a year. See, then it'll be based upon what pleases me. God said he put people together as it pleases him. So at the end of the day, y'all, it's about his purpose. So God puts relationships together for his purpose. Back up to Malachi. Malachi 2 and verse 15. Now he's talking about marriage here, but remember, I'm using marriage as a example of all kind of covenant that God puts together. Malachi 2:15, he said, and did he make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit. And wherefore one? Why did God make you one? Why did God put it together? He said, he gives purpose. That you might seek a God, that he might seek a godly seed. So God said, yeah, I brought you together. I know you all like each other and everything. But I want to, oh, this is so good. I want to produce something from you that could not exist apart from you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You didn't catch this. So, as much as we love Daniel and Tyler and Chandler and Kendra, my four children, I could not have married somebody else and got Daniel and Tyler and Chandler and Kendra. In order for them to be in the earth, we had to be together. Are you following me here? And so it's not just when God wants a specific thing. Oh, that's so good. When God wants a specific thing done, he got to bring specific people together. Now, it could might be something like that, but it can't be that without those people. Now, I'm jumping ahead of myself. We heard the term this week, synergy. Synergy means that the sum is greater than its parts. In other words, until the right people get together, the right thing can't be produced. And if the people aren't there that God intends to be there, it's not going to be what God intended it to be. Is this too deep for y'all? So God puts the people together. He brings divine relationships and divine connections and covenant relationships for his purpose. The Amplified of 1 Corinthians 2:18 says, God has placed and arranged the limbs and organs in the body, each particular one, just as he wished and saw it fit and with the best adaptation. Meaning, he puts people together who can adapt to one another. Watch this. So I can't get along with so-and-so. Well, if it's God's will for y'all to be working together, you won't have to learn to get along. Well, I just can't not work. No, you can. Now, we're going to have to work through this thing and get rid of the flesh and see God's ultimate purpose. Because at the end of the day, y'all, the goal is more important than the role. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment. The goal is more important than the role. That's the principle of leadership. That's the principle of anybody who has responsibility for any organization or family. The goal is more important than a role. Okay? If the goal is we're going to have peace in this house, and your role, you can got out of your role, and because of you, you selling drugs out of my house, and now we don't have peace in my house, because at any given moment I can have a drug raid in my house by the feds, then you got to leave my house, because the goal is there's going to be peace in this house, and your role is now canceled. God chooses people for you to connect with. Ruth, the first chapter. And the book of Ruth is a story of an older woman who mentors a younger woman to get a husband at the end of the day. That's just a natural application of it. It's an older woman who, through covenant relationship, mentors a younger woman to get a husband to ultimately fulfill God's purpose. Say it with me. Say relationships are supposed to be about God's purpose. This is so good, y'all. Let's just take a moment right there. So every relationship you're in, you need to think, what's God's purpose for this relationship? Why am I with this person? Now, what's God getting out of this? What's he going to get out of this? Oh, help me, Jesus. I ain't scared of nobody, Jesus. Okay. Did God put you together so you now can become less faithful because you're married? Now you can't serve God and fulfill responsibility because you're married? Did God put you together, now that you're married, you can't tithe? Or did God put you together so you can do your job easier? Because there's certain things in the body, it's a calling. It's a calling. I was called to preach the gospel from the foundation of the world. So God had to give me a wife who was going to work with that. And because God put us together, I became a better preacher. I'm able to do my job better because I'm with her. If she hinders me now from doing what I say I'm called to do, either something's out of line with us or I miss God. Y'all can say what you want to say. See, you got to evaluate. What's God getting out of this? Is God getting more out of me as a result of this relationship or less out of me because of this relationship? And ideally determine that before you get married. Because it don't get any better after you get married, or it just becomes more stressful for you to try to bring this stuff in line now. You heard Pastor Marshall say a couple weeks ago, we were dating, I was head over heels in love with her. Head over heels. We'd be together all day long. And I was the choir director on Friday. I had choir rehearsal at 6 o'clock. Sometime I was rushing there speeding. I look up at 5:45. We still together at the park. Sitting by the water. Oh, I got to go choir rehearsal. You coming with me? I got to drop you off. Didn't stop. And she knew I was a choir director. She knew all the stuff I did. When we first started dating, she didn't know I was a minister. Until she came to church and I had to read the scripture and pray. And I got it, you know, when we prayed back in our church, we didn't just pray. Father, we thank you. We said, Father, we thank you that you're going to move in this service tonight. Move, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Stop by, heal, deliver, set free. Have your way, Jesus. And she came to church first time saw me do that. I remember saying to me after church, I didn't know you was a priest. That's a nice homily you gave there. But by the time we got, she knew everything I was doing, and it just kept going. Now, of course, I had to bring things in balance after we got married and had more children, but my destiny was sealed, and she was designed to help me with it. Ruth 1st chapter, verse 12. It says, turn again. So the context is Naomi has two daughter-in-laws. They Moabites. Okay? People, I don't know why her sons end up marrying Moabites, why they end up in the land of Moabites. The Bible don't tell us all that, but they're in the land of the Moabites. And her sons had married Moabites who were non-Jewish girls. God told them not to marry them those people, but we don't know their individual situations. But in this case, Naomi's husband has died, and she has two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah. And so after her husband has died and her sons have died, their husband, she says, turn again, my daughters, go your way. He said, now, because I'm too old to have a husband. And if I say I have hope, if I just believe God, I'm going to have a child. And if I have a husband also tonight, and if I should bear sons, he said, are y'all going to be cougars and wait for them to be grown? That's verse 13. Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Y'all going to hang around? He said, would you stay for them from having husbands? Will you not get married waiting on my boys to grow up to be married? She said, it's ludicrous for you to hang around me because there's no more purpose. Wow, oh, that's so good. She said, there's no more purpose in our relationship. That's what she was thinking. No, because you were connected. Ooh, that's so good. She said, she's thinking that just connected with her because it's an incidental relationship. It's just incidental. She's thinking it's just incidental to me having sons. And she says, so if I don't have any sons now, y'all can go on to your own people. But watch this. She said, name my daughter, for it grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. He said that God's allowed all this to happen to me. My husband did and my sons are dead. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and said, see you, don't want to be you. Orpah said, I thought you'd never ask. Orpah had already been thinking about leaving. Orpah was hanging around for procedural sake. Orpah probably was already complaining and whining. Tell me, I don't know why we're still here. Come on, if you leave, I leave. I read something recently. It said when people get ready to leave a church, usually because of offense. Said, first of all, he said, when people join a church, coming into a ministry, said the last thing, they get there, the last thing that comes is their money or their pocketbook. Understandably so. You just join a church. We got all these projects going on. I don't know this church. I don't know these people. I don't know if I'm going to give right there because you're not that committed. You ain't seen the history and all that. Okay? He said, but when people are leaving, the first thing that leaves is their money. It's the last thing when they're coming in. The first thing, so people will get offended and they'll sit here and talk about, I ain't no tither. I ain't trying to tithe. I used to tithe, but I ain't tithe no more. Because now I got offended. And they'll sit there, bucket pass, sit there. Now, y'all, and it could be a day when I'm anointed to be funny. Sometimes I'm just trying to be funny. You know, But sometimes I crack myself up. I'm like, now, God, that was a good one there. And I look over my comedians. I say, I'll be kind of looking at them like, y'all write that one down. Because you won't get paid with that one right there. You better take that. You know, I know I'm funny. Okay? And then, but when somebody's offended, he ain't funny. And they look at me like, I refuse to laugh. Then they start complaining. So, you know what? Don't you think he joked too much? I don't come to church with no jokes. Every time I turn around, he always laughing. Somebody, when they got offended years ago, they told me to my face. I said, what's wrong? I said, it looked like you're upset. I said, yeah, Pastor, because I'm tired of all these stories. I done heard all these stories. It was time for them to go. And when you're going to start disrespecting your man or woman of God, it's time for you to go. And watch it. And ain't no sense to me saying, don't you talk to me like that. I'm your pastor. Obviously, I wasn't. Because if I was, we would never gone there. You understand what I'm saying? And so when people get offended, then their attitude becomes contempt. They become cynical. Sometimes they get with little groups and they're cynical. They're saying things. They're almost like heckling. That was going on one time recently. And I had to tell somebody, I said, I really think you should leave. I really think you should go to another church. Somebody came up to me and told me they want to hear Marcia all the time. I just need to hear Pastor Marcia because we connect. Well, you're going to have to be connected to both of us because we like Reese's, baby. Get the peanut butter with the chocolate. Chocolate with the peanut butter. When you eat a Reese's, you're like, I can't stand this peanut butter. Well, you should have got a Hershey. Comes together. And I said, well, can you just, I said, she teaches every Friday. Well, I said, the praise and worship, Pat, the praise, we need to go longer. The praise and worship need to be longer. And that, and Pastor Marshall, the praise need to be longer, more intense, and Pastor Marshall need to be preaching. So I'm supposed to say, yes, a member. I have to go sit down, dag nabbit. So I told the person, you know what, I really think you should find another church. Well, no, I'm not. I said, no, I really think you need to find a church. Because when you get to that point where you can't cooperate and you got a bad attitude and you want to be cynical, you probably need to go. But you need to evaluate when you are in the midst of all that, is this a covenant relationship? Did God do this or did you do this? My time's up, so let me summarize a couple stories that I need to tell you. Okay, one of them is that years ago I was a minister of music. Some of you heard these stories, okay? But we always have new people. I was a minister of music at a church in Tulsa. We were at this church in Tulsa, and I came there to be the minister of music. Actually, this is the only pastor I had heard about in Tulsa, other than the mega church that I already knew about. And so initially I wanted to go somewhere I thought I could be helped and be used. And so a friend of ours in Maine told us they had someone was pastoring there. And I called him up. And I called him up when I first got to talk. Someone told me in Maine, who was at our church, he said, yeah, okay, maybe we'll get together and have lunch one day. That was in January of 1992. He didn't call me till July. I mean, after I called him, he said we could get together. And by the time he called me, God was dealing with me about some things, but I didn't know where we were going. And he said, listen, the Lord told me to call you. And he says, and so when I start telling him, he said, what do you do? What have you done in ministry? And I start telling him, he said, that's it. I need the ministry of music. So we prayed, went there, and I became ministry of music. Now, my style, I'm pretty traditional in my playing. I took music theory. These guys up here, on the keyboard, they play augmented chords and diminished chords and all that. All I knew was triads. Anybody know how I'm playing them? I know a G chord is GBD, BDG, or DGB. Boom, boom, boom. I could do that. I could do that. All this other stuff, power belongs to God. Pim, 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 pim. I can do all that. Okay? And so I knew that. And, the church was a progressive church. And they wanted to do more contemporary stuff. Now, I could teach the parts. I couldn't play the parts. Okay? And I didn't have a full band. And so I'm there in rehearsal. And I had noticed, for the last 3 weeks, there's a sister sitting in my rehearsal. Okay? Nobody told me she was. She's sitting there in rehearsal, and I kind of see her kind of smirking as I'm playing and teaching it. And then one day the pastor calls me in, and he calls me into the office, and he says, this is the new minister of music. And I told you I was what? Up until that point, I was. She brings me off. He said, this is the new minister of music. I said, oh, okay. He said, well, you know, she's been looking at the rehearsal a little bit, and we think she can do a better job and blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, Pastor, no problem. And so, now watch this. Wasn't planning on going nowhere because when the Lord told me to go there, I didn't just go there to be the minister of music. I knew this was a divine connection.
Every covenant relationship will be tested, whether it's a marital relationship, parent and child, or even a spiritual relationship. While God honors and respects covenant, the enemy will do anything to destroy divine connections. Learn how to recognize and preserve the divine connection God has placed in your life. Order this powerful message on CD or DVD. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or order online at rightdirection.info. Ask for divine connections and covenant relationships.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. If you have been blessed by this broadcast, please email or send a letter sharing your testimony. Email us at praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. We'd love to partner with you in taking the Word of God to places where it's rare and precious. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, call us in Columbia at 803-798-1230 or in Orangeburg at 803-531-7322 or toll free at 877-798-5433. You may also visit us on the web at rightdirection.info. Continue to listen to that still small voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it."